The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network,
the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. Halloween is just around the corner, so visit BubbleGenius.com and pick up their Bath-O-Lantern Pumpkin Shea Butter Soap. So good, you'll want to eat it. Their Jack-O-Lantern soap is colored and scented with real pumpkin, with the added punch of clove essential oil to make it pumpkin pie-y. Shea butter makes it extra luxurious, only $6 at BubbleGenius.com. But if you use our promo code BobAndChez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Welcome to another edition of Thunderdome!
Listen on. Listen on. This is the truth of it. Fighting leads to killing. And killing gets to warring. And that was damn near the death of us all. Look at us now. Busted up and everyone talking about hard rain. But we've learned by the dust of them all, Barter Town's learned. Now when men get to fighting, it happens here. And it finishes here. Two men enter, one man leaves. And right now, I've got two men. Two men with a gut full of fear. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dying time's here.
This is the What's Happening sound. Radio, that's where it is. Community activities. Charming people shoot the breeze. Get your spirits off the ground. The What's Happening Song.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It defies belief that the president would allow the ban on Iranian oil exports to be lifted. And also stand by a Russia blackmails an entire continent, all the while keeping the place of the band on America.
It is Thursday, October 8th, 2015. And this is the Bubble.
It's kind of a shame just in terms of comedy that we're not
getting. I know, I'm so sad. Oh, it's the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob Seska. That's Chez Pazienza sitting right there.
It is.
Brought to you by BubbleGenius.com, also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you want free legal advice, go to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez, or just click the link in the podcast page. Do it.
Meantime, Capitol Hill has turned into Lord of the Flies.
It really, really has. Holy.
There's crying and screaming, wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's like a Hieronymus Bosch painting.
It really is. It's so perfect, though.
It is. It's so perfect. Because finally, finally everyone gets to see what everyone should have known for a long time, which is that these people cannot, they are unable to govern.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Totally. It's such a colossal mess. They don't know who to bring up next. I mean, I think, if you're just joining us, by the way, and I hope you haven't been living under a rock, the fact of the matter is that Kevin McCarthy, who was basically the presumptive heir apparent to this, you know, becoming Speaker of the House to John Boehner. And he's dropped out today.
Mush-mouthed heir apparent.
Yeah, right. The guy who said this.
And those who return home are being disrespected by the VA. They can't keep the simple promise to all of our heroes to the need when they need it most.
God,
you know,
it's so sad.
You know what the reason why Kevin McCarthy actually isn't going to become Speaker of the House? He's decided he's going to join Al Sharpton's show on Sunday mornings on MSNBC.
That's right. Oh, man. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be fun. If he actually does that. Because, you know, we all like Al Sharpton.
Tonight is the measure
of whether the country begins in the state of Wisconsin, a national drive to push back, or whether we have more to go to build a movement of resistance. But resist, we much. We must, and we will much about that be committed.
And here's Kevin McCarthy.
We must engage this war of radical Islam if our life depended on it, because it does.
I'm so sad. We're missing out on
it's
Kevin McCarthy.
Sharp and McCarthy hour.
God, I mean the lost comedy. You know, maybe we were too hard on Kevin McCarthy. Maybe we frightened him away. By we, I mean the entire internet.
No, I think it had less to do with his inability to speak the English language as it did the fact that he just completely gave up the plot.
Yeah, exactly.
In terms of the Benghazi committee.
Well, I mean, do you think the Republican Party the Republican caucus actually pushed him out and said, you know what, look, maybe this isn't working out. Maybe we got to go with someone else. But it seems to me as if they're behaving like they were blindsided by this.
Yeah, I think he could have. The conventional wisdom seems to be one of two things. The long shot people are saying that there's some sort of rumor. This is what Gawker, of course, is going with.
Yeah.
That there's some kind of rumor involving an affair, something that would make him drop out. But, you know, the article over at Salon right now makes a pretty good point, which says that there's an entirely a possibility that he just said, you know what, this is a terrible, terrible thing. like I can't win. I'm not going to be able to win if I take this position.
Yeah, no, and he spent the entire week just flailing over this Benghazi committee, and he was just never able to extricate himself out of that.
Putting yourself in the spotlight like that, that's something that I would never want it. I really wouldn't.
No.
You know what, if I had the opportunity, I'm not that kind of person, but, you know, there's a difference between running for an office and achieving an office and, you know, becoming a politician, becoming part of our leadership and being right in the spotlight.
Yeah.
Like, I am the Speaker of the House.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't want that kind of responsibility.
Well, no, certainly. And then on top of that, right out of the box, he's just a gaffe machine. I mean, even his explanations turned out to be gaffes. He could never walk that back. There was no way he was going to put the egg back on the shell with the Benghazi thing. So I think he was realizing, you know what? Maybe he's smart enough to realize that he was way out of his depth. Yeah, like, this isn't something that he ought to be doing. So, yeah. So as a result, he's dropped out. Now, I know...
It's entirely possible that everything that happened... Which is, you know what, people making fun of him, the fact that he's, as speaker, he has to sort of stay on point, and he absolutely wasn't on the Benghazi committee, and there was a backlash for that. I mean, it could very well be that everything, you know, the sudden pile on, because he's in the spotlight, he just went, f*** this.
Totally not worth it. And it's in that respect, it's kind of shocking that he would back out, because what the Republicans tend to just own this. I mean, look, we're going to talk about Ben Carson later in the show. I mean, look at Ben Carson for the last week. He just keeps going. Trump keeps going. But for some reason, Kevin McCarthy said several stupid things, and then he's backing out. So it seems like this is running contrary to what the Republican strategy is, which is say whatever the hell you want, just keep moving forward.
Well, Kevin McCarthy was more in the Boehner vein.
Yeah.
He wasn't some absolute right-wing lunatic.
That's right.
You know, I mean, look, they're all kind of right-wing lunatics now. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he was more a John Boehner type.
Yeah.
He was more, you know, centrist right. Not in that, you know what I mean when I say that. Centrist for the Republicans is way the fuck out there.
Oh, yeah, totally, totally.
Well, but, no, slightly more establishment than, say, the Ted Cruz is in the room, which I know, obviously, Ted Cruz, senator as opposed to House, but that kind of thing. You know, he wasn't like a Louis Gohmert or a Ted Cruz or somebody like that. This was a guy who was you know, at least somewhat capable of, hopefully, at least somewhat capable of trying to want to govern. And obviously, you know what? He may have looked at everything going on around him and just said, oh, no, I'm good where I am.
You know what? You just brought up a name that could fill the comedy void.
Louis Gohmert. House Speaker Gohmert. Louis Gohmert.
Yeah. We got to start a campaign.
If Louis Gohmert became the Speaker of the House, crazy fucking yokels would kill the President and Vice President. Crazy right. Texans.
Yeah, exactly. Because it would be like, oh, we got to get Gohmert in there. We want President Louis Gohmert.
Just imagine that for a moment. Just wrap your head around that.
Yeah, but I mean, just the whole idea of Louis Gohmert being Speaker of the House. You know, just before we went on the show,
asparagus.
Don't cast aspersions on my asparagus. You know, just before we started the show, there was a rumor going around that John Boehner called Paul Ryan to run for Speaker. My guess is he's got aspirations for Senate, and so therefore he's not necessarily going to take something that's going to hamstring him to run for Senate. I don't know. I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, who else? Who else are they going to up for this job? And I think it's got to be someone that at least the establishment can embrace, but it's just going to be a goddamn fight if that happens, because the Tea Party now sees blood in the water, and they're going to want to stick someone in there. Already Jason Chaffetz has been...
Oh, my God, he wet himself.
Yeah, oh, my... Totally. I mean, Jason Chaffetz is probably... I would say he's kind of like the Tea Party frontrunner for the Post. Yeah. He's got to be way up there at this point, at least in terms of support from the far right of the Republican caucus.
Yeah.
I know. I also read something yesterday that Ted Cruz was doing a lot of campaigning on the House side. It's like he was invading the lower chamber to say, "Hey, come on, let's bring someone up who we can rally around. Who's going to be bat crazy?"
Yeah, but it's really good that it's finally being, you know, there's proof. Everyone can see. The media has to cover it, and the media is covering. The media is calling it chaos. Oh,
totally.
Everyone is finally getting a chance to really see that the Republicans are insane.
Right.
They are insane. They can't govern themselves. They can't govern the country. You know, they're fucking lunatics.
They really are. Here's the New York Times article. This paragraph cracked me up. Mr. McCarthy announced his decision at a meeting of Republicans in the Capitol, and the gathering quickly became chaotic, with many members unable to even hear what was being said. Mr. Boehner requested unanimous consent to postpone the election rather than immediately moving to vote on the remaining two candidates, and then announced, quote, "The meeting is adjourned." So clearly he postponed the goddamn meeting because he so desperately doesn't want the other two crackpots running for speaker to get in there. And one of those crackpots is Jason Chaffetz.
Right.
So instead they've postponed the goddamn vote, which is hysterical. I mean, I hope to God someone puts two and two together in terms of what's going on in the House, whether it is the Benghazi hearing, the Trey Gowdy Benghazi Select Committee as a complete farce, the speakership race as being a complete farce, and then you combine that with what's happening with the Republican candidates right now. For God's sake, this is a party that is in disarray, and the only thing propping it up at this point is this artificial backbone of the traditional press not wanting to seem too biased toward liberals.
Right, exactly. The traditional press not calling it like it actually is.
That's right. I mean, it's so frustrating because without that backstop of the press being sort of hands off, and they don't want to, you know, I think we've got an audio clip later on about, you know, all the parties being... Oh, yeah, that's right. We've got a Jesse Ventura audio clip for later in the show.
Oh, thank God.
Where he's basically doing, oh, the parties are the same. You know, that kind of thing. And that's what the press has been doing because they're so afraid of being accused of having a liberal bias. So, therefore, the Republicans get unfair deference from the press. And that's maintaining their cohesion at this point.
Yeah, well, what's happening is that the press is... The press refuses to recognize the new paradigm. Uh-huh. The press is behaving as if the Republicans are the same party that they were 20, 30 years ago.
Right.
Where they governed at least somewhat responsibly. Even if you disagreed with their choices, they were responsible in terms of being stewards of the country.
Yeah.
And that's just not the case anymore. And you can't make that case anymore at all. You can't look at what's actually going on. You can't look at what's going on in the House right now. You can't look at who the prime candidates are for president on the Republican side. Mm-hmm. Those three people. You can't look at them and say that the Republicans are a serious party anymore.
Absolutely not. It's just the way they behave, for God's sake. I mean, they could be serious candidates. they can have all of the credentials they need to run for president. And they still, if they get up there and say the things that Trump and Carson and Fiorina are saying, they would be laughed. I mean, in normal circumstances, with a press that actually reported on what was really happening, this party would be laughed off the stage.
Right.
It would be a joke. But because they've got this deference going on with the traditional press, and they've got such an apparatus built up with Fox News Channel and AM Talk Radio, basically the conservative entertainment complex, they've got this shell that's protecting them. And we're going to talk about Ben Carson here. Because Ben Carson, I don't know what the hell is going on with him. He's started to condense every crazy thing he can think of into like the last 10 days. I mean, it was beyond just, you know, he would sporadically say something crazy, making sure to remind us that he was a crazy person, in addition to being a brain surgeon, for God's sake. But now he's just, he can't stop blurting out, very slowly and very boringly, just insane things. Like he does, like today, he was interviewed on this radio show. He has no idea what the debt limit is, or why it gets raised once a year. Why any of that happens. He is utterly clueless. When we come back from a break, we're going to play that audio. Also, he was talking about how he was confronted with a burglar at Popeyes, at a Popeyes restaurant.
Yeah, and he said, hey, shoot that guy.
Shoot
that
guy.
That's fucking bravery, man. That's so much bravery.
Go shoot one of the employees, he said. Yeah. That's really what he said. We're going to get into that in a second.
You just know it. You know that that probably never happened.
No. 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 You just make it up.
You're, I mean, but you're right. It's all, you know what? Part of me has thought that especially watching Trump, mm-hmm. I've thought for a long time that like Trump's antics are because he doesn't want to be president. His goal is to say something to get the attention, but to say something so insane that they'll kick him out of the race.
Yeah, wait till you hear
and they'll force him out. And yet it never, like nobody ever does. And so he's just like, okay, now I got to say something more crazy. And I think I'm starting to feel like Ben Carson is doing the same thing.
Yeah,
that
maybe.
Carson's like, you know what? I'm going to say something completely crazy. I took a on a Popeye's counter once. And then I told the gunman, and then to stop the gunman from shooting me, I ate that. I rubbed that shit all over my face.
Well, you remember, I'm sure you've had a client, right, doing one of your side gigs where you don't want to do the gig, but you don't want to tell them no either. So you quote your rate like way, way high.
Yeah.
So they can't afford it. And so they have to say, yeah, you know what? We'll have to go with someone else. We can't afford that budget. You know, that's kind of what they're doing. They're kind of, instead of a high quote, they're going with crazy, crazy, crazy.
Yeah.
Hoping that everyone will finally go, you know what? He's just too crazy.
But
even
true.
For us, he's too crazy.
Carson has said things this week that Carson doesn't have the kind of Teflon on him that Donald Trump has. Donald Trump is so boisterous and so arrogant that he's Teflon.
Yeah.
You know, he's critic proof, as they say about like bad movies.
Yeah. He totally owns it.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, Ben Carson, actually, that comment about charging the gunman and then following that up with, you know, the double tap of the double tap entry wound of saying that if he were, you know, that when he was held up at a Popeyes, he said to shoot the guy behind the counter. That's the kind of thing that people listen to and go, I don't want this guy as president.
Exactly.
That's horribly wrong.
That's very, very wrong. Right. Well, we're going to take a break and come back with this great audio of Ben Carson talking about the debt ceiling and getting it completely wrong. Back with more show right after this. Hello, it's Bob to tell you about our Patreon page. You might be asking yourself, what the hell is a Patreon page? It's a website where you can help support our podcast by donating money to the show. You can sign up for $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, or if you're filthy rich, you can sign up for more. In exchange, we'll bring you exclusive Patreon-only content like our post-mortem shows, memberships to the after party, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of our free show. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll bring you new shows every weekday. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Oh, well, Welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us today on our Thursday show. Programming note, no after party this week. I know, boo, no after party. I'll explain
more.
We're
both
busy. So we're gonna take a Friday off this week, and then come back with the after party next week. We gave you one hell of a post-mortem show. Let me just tell you.
We did. Oh, boy, did we.
Tuesday's...
And that got exactly the response I expected. Exactly.
Tuesday's post-mortem show was almost entirely about masturbation. So, and it was a long one, too. So we're giving you something extra special this week. We're giving you the gift of masturbation on the post-mortem show. So I hope that makes up for the fact that we're taking a much-needed, much-deserved Friday off with the after party. Be
I
back,
no
of course.
Choice. I'm going to Santa Barbara.
Oh, nice. All right. And you're going there for like a weekend, like a long weekend?
A wedding. Yeah, we got two days there, and then Terrence got Monday off. So
is it going to be a fun wedding, or is it going to be one of those, ugh, why do I have
no,
to go
No, it
to
should
this?
Be. Well, first of all, it's Terrence's family, which means... just a crap load of drinking. So I mean, the what do you call it, the rehearsal dinner is on Friday. Mm-hmm. Saturday is going to be spent recovering, and then Saturday night is the wedding, and it'll be a good time.
Spent recovering.
Oh yeah.
All right, well, as we promised, Ben Carson was on this radio show, and he was asked about the debt ceiling, and he just had no idea what the hell it was or how it functions or what the president does with regards to the debt ceiling. It was an interview with Kai Ryssdal.
Kai Ryssdal. I love Kai Ryssdal. Kai Ryssdal.
Kai Ryssdal.
Kai Ryssdal's the guy, he does Los Angeles Marketplace for NPR. And that's the way he talks. He's like, Kai Ryssdal here. He's like really smooth. I love him.
He's got a great voice. Great voice. And boy, he effing nailed Ben Carson.
I'm glad.
Let's just dive into this.
Remember, as you listen to this, this guy is basically polling second among the Republicans to become president of the United States.
And he has no idea what this means. No idea what this is. I mean, fantastically clueless. Here's Kai Ryssdal interviewing Ben Carson.
All right, so let's talk about debt then and the budget.
You know what? I'd give my right nut for that voice, by the way.
He's great.
Kai Ryssdal's voice. All right, let's continue.
You know, Treasury Secretary Liu has come out in the last couple of days and said, we're going to run out of money. We're going to run out of borrowing authority on the 5th of November. Should the Congress then and the president not raise the debt limit? Should we default on our debt?
Let me put it this way. If I were the president, I would not sign an increase budget. Absolutely would not do it. They would have to find a place to cut. To
be
Wait a minute. Oh, boy.
No! Wrong. Wrong. The debt ceiling has zero to do with the president signing a budget. Zero. Zero.
You know what he's going to pull? Nothing. Let me see if I can guess. He's going to do like one of those things you see in the movies where it's like, oh, yeah, no, I know what you're saying. But, I mean, I was talking about the budget as well. I'm going to get to what you're asking. I was just talking about the budget, too.
Suddenly, he's caught. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. So he's got to do this. Okay. Kai Ryssdal, you got me. You got me on the NPR. You cornered me. I don't know what I'm talking about. So it's time to put you to sleep.
Right, exactly.
Time for a little nap, and then I'll sneak out of the studio. All right, here we go. Climb aboard the sleep train to Snoozeville. Dr. Ben Carson.
Here comes Mr. Fuji to blow some of that Sandman dust in your face.
How do you like them apples? Them's Ben Carson apples. You know, I once operated on the brain, using nothing but an X-Acto knife and some scotch tape. It's true. I'll tell you all about it now, Dr. Ben Carson. Let's continue with this goddamn thing. Unbelievable. This is a disqualifying answer. He shouldn't be allowed to run for president. Here's more.
To be clear, it's increasing the debt limit, not the budget. But I want to make sure I understand you. You'd let the United States default rather than raise the debt limit.
No, I would provide kind of leadership that says, get on the stick, guys, and stop messing around. And
that's not an answer.
Get on the
that's
stick.
That's not an answer. That's what he do. He just, well, Mr. President, we've got a problem. You know, we're about to go over the debt. You know, the debt ceiling. The whole country, the entire world's economy could be thrown into turmoil. Well, get on the stick, guys.
Stop messing around.
I'll be in here laying down.
All right. Hold on a second. I've got to interrupt putting the Secretary of State to sleep. The rest of my West Wing staff. Because I got to tell Congress to start cutting. Better get on the stick. Do something about that money. There's lots of government money that goes into something I'm unaware of, and then maybe that money gets spent, and then there is debt on the thing, and then once that thing is filled up, there's no more room in the thing to put the more money. So, Ben Carson.
Dr. Ben Carson.
What a goddamn Nimrod. This guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
An idiot. Everyone's reevaluating the phrase, it's not brain surgery.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Because, I mean, a guy who operates on people's brains and has been wildly successful at it doesn't know the basic things about what a president does.
And you know what? That's fine. That's absolutely fine. I don't care. I don't care whether my brain surgeon knows every single thing that the president does.
Well,
I don't care if he knows how government runs. I care when he's running for president.
Right.
That's the problem.
Well, yeah, but that's it. That's it. Because you wonder if he's cutting all these corners. He's running for president. Did he cut the same kind of corners when he was in medical school?
Right.
No, he probably learned all the things he needed to learn in order to successfully cut into someone's brain. So why isn't he doing the same with this other job, which is ostensibly far more important than, you know, one brain surgeon at Johns Hopkins or wherever he was?
Yeah, exactly.
So for God's sake, crack open a book. Crack open a position paper. Crack open like an eighth grade civics textbook. It'll tell you about the debt ceiling, and you don't know. Telling the Congress to get on their stick is stupid. It's no policy. No policy at all. He has no business being out there. No business. Get Clint Howard on his ass. All right. Here's more Ben Carson. But
where you need to cut because we're not raising any spending limits, period.
I'm going to try one more time, sir. This is debt that's already obligated.
Oh, God.
That's so great.
Rizdahl smacks him down.
I'm going to try one more time, sir. This is debt that's already...
One last chance not to look stupid on the radio in front of everyone.
God.
Would you not favor increasing the debt limit to pay the debts already incurred?
What I'm saying is what we have to do is restructure the way that we create debt.
Is it me, or does he almost sound like he's about to cry?
That's actually exactly what I was thinking.
It's like
he sounds like he's kind of retreating into himself.
Yeah, he's like, Dr. Ben Carson, I don't know what to do. This is kind of embarrassing. I don't know. I don't know. It's a hard question about spending, like, what is the debt? The deficit? It's all so confusing. I promised myself I wouldn't do this. Dr. Ben Carson. Jesus. He's getting all kind of weepy on NPR.
I mean, if we continue along this, where does it stop? It never stops.
What a goddamn idiot! Idiot! This is already spending that has been done and borrowed. It's like saying, okay, I've got this credit card. I'm not going to pay back the debts that are incurred on this credit card. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to pay out. I'm just going to stop paying. That's what he's saying. But he's saying, well, also, you know what? We should cut the budget.
But that has nothing to do with the money that's already spent, and you...
You're just going to default.
Right.
Always going to ask the same question every year. And we're just going to keep going down that pathway. That's one of the things I think that the people are tired of.
I'm really trying not to be circular here, Dr. Carson, but if you're not going to raise the debt limit and you're not going to give specifics on what you're going to cut, then how are we going to know what you would do as President of the United States?
We know. It would be an unmitigated disaster if any of these people became president. Trump, Carson, Fiorina, doesn't matter. But you know who's now freed up to run for president is of course, Kevin McCarthy. Here's something from our friend Rocky Mountain Mike.
Kevin and Judy want to get away from Bakersfield to see the world.
Honey, we've had to sit through a stemaflow of criticism this past week. We should take a vacation.
That's where I come in. I'm the Babylosity Gnome.
There's no doubt what I said about the Benghazi Committee is preventing me from becoming speaker and bolding those harm would do.
Yes, your politically strategy has had a horrific consequences.
Time to go to Babylosity. There you can find deals to Hungria, Rushonia, or even Sylvania.
Oh, this is wonderful, honey. How about a trip to Barcelona, Stan?
Oh, that's great. I hope we get to fly on Band on American.
See your own world with Babylosity.
Smell the coffee.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Okay, here's what we're going to do for the next 3 days. Everyone who loves this show, you must go to iTunes. Okay, go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating and review. Everybody listening to the show, we do that, suddenly we're in like the top 10 on iTunes. Everybody does that. It's like, you know what? It's not the same, quite the same as the Chris Lavoie bump, but it's pretty damn close. We can get everyone who's downloaded this show just to go to iTunes, whether you use iTunes or not. Go over and add that at iTunes. There's links all over the blog, all over the website for the show at bobsuska.com. You can't miss all of those iTunes links. Just go to iTunes. You can just temporarily download the app if you want to, add a 5-star rating and review that way, and it really, really helps the show. Meanwhile, second half of the show is brought to you, as always, by the BobSuska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link just below the logo at BobSuska.com, and we get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing. You get to go shopping, and it helps support the show. Okay, thank you for that. All right, so Ben Carson, in addition to not understanding the debt ceiling, made up just a complete bullshit story about how he was involved. Suddenly, we're learning this. Like, this is something that... We just now needed to know about Ben Carson, that he was involved in a holdup at a Popeye's fried chicken restaurant.
It's just awesome.
Said here, Ben Carson's been bragging all week that he would charge head-on at gunmen if he ever encountered one. Now says he actually has been faced with that threat. Republican presidential candidate said Thursday morning they had a gun drawn on him while visiting a Baltimore fried chicken restaurant, reported The Hill. Quote, I've had a gun held on me when I was in a Popeye's organization. It's a Popeye's organization.
You know what, honestly, dude, hold on. Can you hold on just a while? I haven't eaten lunch yet. I'm going to go over to the Del Taco organization up the street.
Yeah, I mean, I got a great hamburger over at the In-N-Out organization. Oh. It's delicious. That organization makes one hell of a hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
The Popeye's organization. Guy comes in,
puts a
gun in his ribs. All right. Carson said twice.
By the way, they were ribs that he'd ordered. So he puts the gun right there in the ribs.
Make sure to get some barbecue sauce. All right. So what happened when Carson allegedly faced just such a threat? He directed the gunman's attention to an employee of the fast food restaurant. Quote, I just said, I believe that you want the guy behind the counter, Carson said.
So right, he's like, right, because you want to rob the pimply 17-year-old who's got like $50 in the till instead of the neurosurgeon.
So you have to wonder, like, what kind of reasoning is going on in his head for him to actually say this in his own defense? Like, this is going to somehow make things better for him. That right. He said, you know, go shoot the kid behind the counter because he's the one with the money. I got nothing.
Right. Like that. That's a good story. That's like, you know, I got to tell you this great story one time. Isn't that a hoot? Oh, yeah, man, that's funny.
Jesus, this guy. go shoot the other guy because he's got the money. And maybe I'm just too important to be shot. I just said, I believe that you want the guy behind the counter. Move right on ahead. Go right on by. I'm Dr. Ben Carson. You can go. You go rob that guy over there.
Yeah, I love Drew McGarry's piece today, where he really just what did he say? He said, "Shut the f*** up, Ben Carson." Or something. That was the name of it.
No, it's like Ben Carson in GQ.
And he said, he's like if we elect this guy president, we're going to be that cashier.
Right. Yeah, Drew.
Because that was one of two really great pieces today. The other one was, did you see the Graydon Carter piece?
No, I didn't.
In Vanity Fair? The Graydon Carter, editor's letter where he talked about Donald Trump. And, you know, Graydon Carter was the publisher of Spy years ago. And he said, you know, 25 years ago, if you remember Spy, I used to read Spy all the time. One of the things, like their title for Donald Trump was they would always call him a short-fingered vulgarian.
Oh, yes,
short-fingered vulgarian Donald Trump.
Short-fingered vulgarian, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, Graydon Carter's talking about how that's what they used to call him on Spy. So he said, he's like, seriously, for 25 years, every once in a while, Graydon Carter says he will receive an envelope from Donald Trump. He'll open it. There will be like a magazine page of Trump or something that he's torn out with the picture of him pointing. He will have circled his finger in a gold Sharpie and written "See not so long" next to it. For 25 years, this guy has been doing that.
God damn.
That's how f***ing thin-skinned he is.
Really, really thin-skinned. Yeah. By the way, did you see who Trump had on? Trump called a Colombian woman up on stage with him. Insisted
Dude, that was so brilliant. Holy crap, was that brilliant.
Here's the audio. This is Donald Trump at one of his rallies, and he sees, apparently, this Colombian woman in the front row holding a People magazine with the picture of Trump and his family on the cover. Calls her up on stage, insists that she's not a plant. I've never seen you before, right? That's what he asks her. Here's the audio of Trump with this Colombian woman. That means that he totally loves Latinos now.
There it is. Come here. Let me have that. Come here.
Listen to her. She's so excited.
Let me say this. Where are you from?
I'm from Colombia.
Hispanic. And is this a setup?
I'm here illegally. Just came yesterday. Crossed over the border at Tijuana.
He's like, oh, Colombia!
Smuggled in the wheel well of a car.
I've got condom filled with cocaine in my intestines.
Colombia!
And is this a setup? Did I ever meet you before? Huh?
I'm Hispanic and I vote for Mr. Trump! We vote for Mr. Trump! Yes! Mr. Trump! We love you! Wow. We love you!
This is right. This is torn right from Saturday Night Live. Yeah, this is a Saturday Night Live sketch.
And again, this is another reminder of that thing that you said. I think it was last week or on Tuesday. I can't remember. It all runs together for me. It's in my mind. It's all just one big blur. But about Howard Dean. About how Howard Dean yelled, "Yeah!"
Yeah, that was totally it.
He was gone. He was out of the race, never to be seen from again in presidential circles.
Right, but then
look at this. He's got a woman. He brought a woman on stage with a People magazine. She's screaming at the top of her lungs.
Oh yeah, yeah, right. Here's more of the Colombian woman screaming.
Wow! Powerful, horrible today. Obamacare, hate law, strangles, unleashed, booming Reagan.
Oh wait, that was not the Colombian woman. We just wait. Like, Trump's going to be on CNN tomorrow, and he's going to say, you know what? We got so many Colombians, your head's going to implode.
The way to the White House!
I swear to you, I think she's totally beautiful and great. I never met her before, I swear.
yeah, right. Okay, sure.
By the way, she goes back into the crowd and is immediately beaten to death by rednecks.
Oh, my God. Yeah, exactly.
Goddamn Hispanic here.
Gotta take another break. Back with more show right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Okay, welcome back. Hey, huge birthday greetings to my brother Jim. It's hardly believable. My youngest brother Jim turns 40 on Saturday. Jim, to me, is perpetually seven, and so it's inconceivable that he's now 40. He's going to be 40 on Saturday, and I know he listens to the show, so I want to wish him a very, 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 very happy 40th birthday. It's all downhill from here. Trust me. I'm halfway through my 40s. It's all downhill from there. All right. So, moving along with the show, a Democratic congressman just posted this on his Facebook. Mark Ticano of California's 41st District just posted a Craigslist ad for Speaker of the House.
Wow.
A help wanted ad. Speaker of the House, Washington, D.C. Are you an American citizen? Do you have experience negotiating hostage situations? Are you ready for the challenge of a lifetime? Then this job is for you. We are seeking an extremely patient and motivated person to lead the U.S. House of Representatives. Responsibilities: keeping the government open, avoiding a default on U.S. debt, maintaining women's access to health care, managing multiple investigative committees aimed at attacking Hillary Clinton, explaining to the quote-unquote Freedom Caucus the concepts of compromise and democratic governance. Requirements: proven ability to work with irrational people who pursue narrow priorities at the expense of millions of others. Proficiency in Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. Babysitting experience strongly preferred. No congressional experience necessary. Please email resume and an outline of your plan to thenextfrankunderwood@gmail.com. Rhinos need not apply. Well, that was pretty good. Kudos to Mark Ticano of California 41st. The Craigslist ad. All right, moving along here. Okay, so we got to talk about this.
Let's win this thing.
We demand a man who speaks his mind.
Jesse Ventura.
Darn right.
Not wow. Some suit who only toes the party line.
I don't play that game.
Jesse.
When those other guys were cashing government checks, he was in the Navy getting dirty and wet.
Oh, Jesse.
Demand a leader with a spine.
Jesse Ventura.
You're making me blush.
We want one of
you
us.
What's awesome about this song?
What?
You know what's awesome about this song? The fact that somewhere there were at one time session musicians who got hired to actually sing this,
right?
To play this, to do this crap. They're like, all right, just point me to the studio and I'll sing this for you.
Darn right. Darn.
Yep.
Darn.
About DARPA.
Ben Carson. All right. So Jesse Ventura was on CNN and was asked about, again, it's this ridiculous false equivalence between Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders.
Right.
Just coupling them together as if somehow Bernie Sanders is to the Democrats what Donald Trump is to the Republicans. And it makes no goddamn sense whatsoever. And then Jesse, who, you know what, got this love-hate relationship with Jesse Ventura. Sometimes he's right on the mark. Other times, like this clip, He's completely off base. Right, he just completely has no idea about the two-party system, no idea about what it means for Trump to the Republican Party versus Bernie Sanders to the Democrats. Just completely clueless.
So you know a thing or two about being a political outsider. I mean, you were, I think, the ultimate political outsider. What do you think people are seeing in Donald Trump, Ben Carson, even Bernie Sanders? Voters looking for something different.
That's what you're seeing. People no longer trust the career politicians, no longer trust the status quo because they've screwed it up so bad. I loved listening to you talk to those other talking heads about Donald Trump could be the destruction of the whole Republican Party. I throw my hands up in the air and cheer. I hope it happens. And I hope Bernie Sanders is the destruction of the Democratic Party.
See, this is just, you know what this is? Just plain old fappery. This is verbal masturbation.
It's fappery and it's bullshit nihilism.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that Glenn Greenwald does.
Exactly.
You know, we've talked about that many times. It's this, I don't care if the whole world burns because something better is going to come after it. Yeah, but
that's
the problem is, for a while, the world's going to burn.
The world's going to burn.
It's going to take a while. People will be hurt by the burning.
Again, we always say this. It's the underpants gnome business model. Upend the two-party system. And then, question mark, question mark, question mark. Number three, democracy. Well, the danger is in the question mark. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. Okay, so you've got your plan here, Jesse and Glenn and whoever. We're going to upend the two-party system by Donald Trump is going to screw up the parties. And then, you know, and then Bernie Sanders on the Democratic side will completely explode the Democratic Party.
Well, what? Everything will be exploded.
There'll be all kinds of explosions.
And the whole world will burn with thermite paint.
No more parties. No more political parties anymore. We're going to have multiple parties.
Right. Because as you have said many times, that will work. In a country like the United States, which you really want, in a country where even somebody who wins by like 50%, the country is split and screaming and yelling at each other, what you really need is somebody who's won the presidency by like 25%, 20%.
That's right. No governing mandate whatsoever.
Yeah. So that 15%.
Right. I mean, really,
so
come
on. 85% of the people really don't like him.
It's just, it's really the dumbest thing. And sadly, it's the thing that we hear the most all over Facebook, all over the internet. The two-party. We need to get rid of the two-party system. Well, no. If you want to see what a multi-party system looks like, check out, like, Italy. Italy that's had, like, 50 constitutions in the last 100 years. It's not smart to do that. Here's Jesse Ventura is going to continue here and tell us why we have to get rid of the two-party system.
Because I wrote the book Democrips and Rebloodlicans too. No more gangs in government.
What?
Well, that's very clever, Jesse.
No more gangs in government. The Republic Bloods and the Democrips. Jesus, really? Yeah, no more. They're like gang members stabbing each other.
That's right. Oftentimes, in order to become a member of the House, you have to go shoot somebody.
See, the Republic Bloods and the Democrips are always strangling each other. And the one strangles the one, and the other strangles the other. And then, what do you have then?
Oftentimes, someone from the Senate House will do a drive-by of the lower house and will be spraying it with gunfire.
I remember
it's
that.
Time to break up the two-party dictatorship.
Yeah.
You don't f*** you.
You know what? I'm not thrilled with politics either. Honestly, I'm really not. But that's so f***ing nihilistic for a country like us.
It's just plain stupid. I mean, seriously, let's talk about this, okay? If you have a multi-party system, not only do you not have a governing mandate for president. Remember when Bill Clinton was elected? He had, I think, 43% of the vote. All the Republicans talked about for 8 years was that he had no governing mandate with only 43% of the vote because of Ross Perot being in the election.
Right.
And that was
it's a pipe dream. It's this idea that America will just go, and, you know, the angels will come down and the rest of us will just deal with whatever party won.
Exactly.
The candidate from whatever party.
They're always
never going to happen.
There are always third parties running, right? But the Electoral College is set up in a way that it discourages those third parties from ever winning electoral votes. This is my, I mean, I could talk about this for an hour and a half, and it would be completely, utterly boring for me to do it. But the fact of the matter is that the Electoral College is important because it discourages third parties. The reason we don't want third parties is because every 4 years, we would basically have an all-new government. There would be no consistency, no continuity whatsoever. So basically, the whole reason why the Constitution has really survived for this long, and it's unlikely that Constitution survived this long in the grand history of the world, that it's solely because we have this, you know, this two-party system that kind of keeps things centered, right? Doesn't let, I mean, suddenly we've got, well, like, once every 4 years, we've got a Green Party candidate, and that's followed by the, I don't know, the white supremacist candidate, and then all these fringe groups are getting in, and then it's all over the place. Everything changes every 4 years. Suddenly everything starts to break down. Yeah. So I don't know. These are things that Jesse Ventura and Glenn Greenwald don't consider as being actual factors. We can't even get agreement between two parties. Imagine agreement between 12 parties. Put aside the presidency. Add the extra parties to the Congress. Imagine trying to get legislation passed where you have to compromise between 12 parties instead of just two. Oh, it's a dictatorship to have the two parties. Well, imagine the stagnation, the absolute zero that would happen trying to get legislation passed with the agreement of, like, what? Let's just figure conservatively, 5 parties instead of 2. Good luck with that. But instead, it's just really easy to say, I'm above the fray. I'm not part of the two-party system. Go my own way. I am off on my own individualistic screed here.
And so you don't identify with the Republican or Democratic
Completely.
Party. Why do you want it? Why do you want someone? Why do you want them to be the skunk of the garden party?
Because what the hell does that even mean? Skunk at a garden party?
Are you saying I smell Don Lemon?
Picks him up and like body slams him.
Here comes the big elbow.
We deserve more than two choices. I'm fiscally conservative, but I'm socially liberal.
Yeah, you deserve more than two choices. Well, you know what, Jesse? Look at your ballot. What you're talking about is winning choices, and that's never going to happen. And if it does, well, bye. Oh, more choices and more winners. A third party president. Oh, good. Bye. Be horrific. It would be a hellscape.
Right.
Just no chance of being able to govern a country like that. All right. Okay, so we do have a postmortem show coming for you today. Even though we don't have an after party on Friday, we're taking a think of Friday off. Just a Friday off from doing the after party. We're going to come back next Friday with an after party that will, I swear to God, it will include Chez's new music demo.
Oh, yeah.
Because we are way behind on that. So what? So I think the last one we did was,
I don't know, like 6 years ago.
I don't know. It was like, yeah, it was like 8 years ago.
Last time we did it.
So that'll be coming up on Friday. So here's what you want to do. I forgot to mention this on the show before, on Tuesday's show, on Tuesday's free show. There was a hacking of Patreon. All of your personal private information is entirely encrypted and was not exposed. So that means your credit card numbers, social security numbers, all that stuff was highly encrypted by Patreon. In fact, I spoke to lovely Heather Wilder at Patreon about a different matter today, and talked to her a little bit about the hacking. Everything is secure, so you're okay. None of this stuff was breached that is ultimately really important. So, unfortunately, all of our listeners and supporters at Patreon.com, I think we only had like one or two people cancel. And I don't even know if it was because of the hack. Might have been something entirely different. But everything is safe. Everything is okay. Don't worry. Patreon has you covered. And so if you haven't signed up at patreon.com/Bob and Chez, you can sign up for $5 a month, and that'll get you the postmortem show. Sign up at $10 a month, you get the postmortem show and the after party. And if you sign up for $15 a month, you get all of those things plus a commercial-free, not safe for work version of this show. No bleeps, no commercials, nothing. Oh, by the way, there's a platinum level. If you're loaded with money, if you've got tons of money, you don't know what to do with your money, you can sign up at the $1,000 level, and we'll actually have you on the show to promote whatever nonprofits or whatever you're doing with your other money.
Right.
All right, have a great weekend. We'll see you on Tuesday. Bye.
Bye-bye.